First Kings chapter 18, if you'll turn there. We know the story here. Brother Birdsong touched on it last night, I believe it was. Very familiar story here on what God did at, on the mount and how God worked great things. So I would like to ask you a favor, though, if you would, this morning. When I read this passage of Scripture, mark out every other message you've already heard about it, okay? So you can hear this one. Sometimes I have preachers try to run people down because they've already preached it ahead of me. Because they've heard it preached so many times, you already know the outcome of most stories in the Bible anyhow. And don't run up there and wait on me. Just come along with me. Let's see what I got to say about it, all right? And let me just try to preach to you a little bit. But in the 18th chapter, verse 21, the Bible said, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Notice this. "And the people answered him not a word." In the next few verses, we see here that Elijah gives an explanation of the challenge about the bullocks and the sacrifice and everything. Then the Bible says that the people said, "It is well spoken." And then on farther over in the conclusion of what took place on Mount Carmel was after God answered by fire and the sacrifice was all received and God worked in a miraculous way. The Bible said, "Then all the people saw it, and they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God." So, now I done preached way up there. Now I'm going to go back and preach to it, all right? In verse 21, I want you to understand, in this chapter here, we see that there's a problem that needs to be taken care of. We see there's a situation here that Elijah has decided we've got to figure out what to do. Now, I want you to understand here, I want to talk to us a little bit. I don't know how to title this. I think I want to title it, Why We're Stalled. This is why we're stuck here. This is why we're in halt. And the setting of the Scripture here brings out a lot of points of interest and a lot of preaching from it. I could preach about the fire coming down. I could preach about a lot of things, you know. But I want you to understand, now, this Scripture teaching here is not altogether a conflict between Ahab the king and Elijah the prophet, even though they're the two main players. You understand that. Now, it's not just telling us that there's a challenge here or a conflict between these concerning the rain and the drought. That's not it. But now it all started like that. Mount Carmel started from that. I want you to understand that because you'll see if you turn back into Scripture a little bit, the Bible says that Ahab made a grove and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that was before him. I mean, it seems that Ahab's the problem here. And then in chapter 17, we find out that a man by the name Elijah shows up in the Scriptures. You can't find out where he came from, much about him, but he shows up and walks up to this king that made God mad and said, "Now, I want to tell you here, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years according to my word." So it looks like it's kind of a duel between Ahab and Elijah, but that's not the problem. I'm going to preach about it if I get to it. So we see here that, now, if you'll notice here, that in verse 17, we got the two here. The Bible said it came to pass that when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Thou art he that troubled Israel." And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou. And all your father's house is what made Israel. Got Israel in the mess it's in." I'm trying to get you a setting here. I like to lay a foundation, and sometimes the foundation feels good, I just preach it. And sometimes I like to get to a place where I can let you know where we at in the scriptures and let you know where we at here, what we want to talk to you about. But it seems like there's a conflict and a duel has been called out between this king that has made God mad and a prophet that God is using. But that's not the problem. And we see this. We see the challenge here. Now, I want you to also understand now that this chapter here is not just a historical event to tell you that God's almighty, because he's always been proven in the scriptures that he was. Now, I know that the Bible says that in verse 38 of this chapter, that when the fire of the Lord fell, it consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, licked up the water that was in the trenches. I do know that God proved himself in a mighty way, but that was not the problem. It was not, God had nothing to do to try to prove himself to the people, but Elijah wanted to show them what the problem was. I'm getting there. Now, it's not really a power struggle between God and Baal. God has no problem with these false gods. You ever notice all the plagues he brought on Egypt? It was against their gods, things they worshipped. That's all it was. God has nothing to prove to us. He has nothing to prove to Baal or Ahab. But he did. Now, I want you to understand. Now, the power struggle was not between God and Baal. Now, I read, believe it or not, Baal, the name itself, means Lord and Master. So you can understand why they would say, "Oh, Baal." They did. I mean, they did. They cried out to him. Now, if I understand that he is actually a god of rain and storms and the fertility of the land. Now, I live in farming country. And if you live in farming country with farmers in your congregation, you got more prayer requests about rain. And no disrespect. You know, but I want you to understand that they were in a false worship to a god that they thought controlled the rain, the fertility of the land, and everything. Baal was this type of god. Why did you think God let Elijah walk up and tell them from the very beginning, "It ain't going to be no dew, it ain't going to be no rain, there ain't going to be no moisture until I say so." So the conflict was not between Baal and God, because God can handle Baal. How else can you handle a God that's supposed to be in charge of rain and storms and fertility than cause a drought to come? Shutting everything off? This is just something to come in my head, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. God has a way of shutting the shout down. Some of the things we shout over. All right, let's go. So I want you to understand, the problem was that I read in the scripture here that Elijah felt like we need to address was the fact that they have now come up with two. I believe in the King James West. Opinion is a view, judgment, or appraisal formed in the mind about a particular matter. I believe stronger than an impression, but less stronger than a positive knowledge. I preach from the dictionary sometimes. You can't bank on it. You can't depend upon it. It also says a belief or judgment based on grounds insufficient to produce complete certainty. The problem was they have turned away from a devout worship to the Jehovah God and has come up with another opinion that Baal may be just as good. And so the problem was they were halted and they were stuck with turning to decide which one might be the best God to worship. Now, I preached on this before and I taught it as just an opinion. I got a bunch of them. And some of them ain't bad, but I got a book that'll prove a lot of things is definitely truth. And I found out if I can pull it out of the book, if I can get it from the Word of God, if I can get it from His Holy Writ, you can bank on it, you can trust it, but if I give you my opinion, you can shout over it and it won't mean nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you see, the problem was they couldn't decide who or whom we should worship. And this is what Elijah saw. And so he brings them to this place and asks him, how long are you going to be halted here? Now, I know this was in Israel's day. And I know that this is during the time that they wanted a king. And David, Saul, well, you know, handpicked by Samuel. And God knew Saul. And Saul didn't hold out. And then he got David. And David did good. But I want to tell you, it was up and down from then on. And at this particular time, they had a king that had a wife that the Bible said kept him stirred up. I'll tell you how much he depended on her, though. When they couldn't get Naboth's vineyard, he went to bed and powdered in the bedroom until she decided to do something about it. Bless his little heart. Yes, man. I believe he is a yes, man. But he was a king that did not. And he led the people wrong. And he brought a problem in the house of God. And now a prophet is rising up, challenging him. But before he challenged him and his prophets, he had to inquire with the people or the children of God and said, I want to tell you now, which one do you think is right? I'm seeing this same trend taking place in the church world today. Now, I'm from a little town in Cockwood, Georgia. One red light, and I forget about it and run it half of the time because it's just, you know, I just forget about it. And our main shopping store is not Walmart, it's Dollar General. And I'll go walk around in Dollar General just like I do in Walmart. Well, I don't think I want that. No, I don't need that. All four aisles. And so I'm telling you, it's a small town, but I am a part of the Ministerial Association in Cochran. Me and four more preachers, or five sometimes, and maybe six once in a while, but most times it's just four of us shows up. And they're from all different churches. And I have to use the name so you know. The Methodist preacher there went ahead and titled me the Holiness Preacher, which I wore proudly. And so when they get in some situation, they said, let's ask the Holiness Preacher. And you know, we had a friendship. I preached to in a lot of the Easter services and things like that, the annual things that we do there for the community. And even in the community, let me just tell you how big a preacher I am. You probably didn't know this. But in the community, I've been over there 6 years, and three of those 6 years, I spoke at the Veterans Day at the Courthouse Square. The Veterans Group called me to be their speaker with the one red light. Of course, I know why, because I couldn't find nobody else, but I do know I was there. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this. I'm telling you where I'm going. And our friendship is good. But I told those brethren sitting at one of the meetings, fellas, my friendship with you is unlimited, but my fellowship has restrictions. I said, first of all, you're not going to want me to go in your pulpit preaching my doctrine, and I'm not putting you in mind to preach yours. Did it break the friendship? No. That's the Holiness Preacher. I'm preaching. You see where we're getting to now. Now, I know what I know one body, one spirit, one baptism. You know, we're all one now, you know. We're all unified together. We're all, I want to tell you, praise God, there's some things you're going to have to stick with the book. There's some things you're going to have to base on the Bible. There's some things the Bible's going to base it on that you're going to have to understand. It cannot be an opinion. They got in trouble because they decided, we've got another opinion now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Elijah said, how long you halt ye between two opinions? And I already gave you a decision what opinion was. What happened here, they have allowed the absolute truth of worshiping God Jehovah to become nothing more than an opinion. When they saw, they forgot about where he said he's a jealous God and you should have no other gods before me. They forgot about where he said, the Lord thy God only should thou worship and none other. They forgot about you should not get put up any graven image. They forgot about, because what had happened, they had come up with a mindset, they had come up with a thought that they could not base it on certainty. They had come up with an opinion that maybe, you know, you got folks probably sitting in your congregation that is under the opinion that maybe we ain't altogether right in this thing.
Well, that's just Brother John Galbert. That's his opinion of it.
You know what they've done? They took the absolute truth and made it an opinion. You can't do that. You cannot take biblical convictions, Bible teaching, Holy Word standards, and change it to your opinion. You ever ask anybody that you knew at one time believed it and lived it, and then all of a sudden they changed their way of doing it? I take that as a challenge sometimes, and I ask them, how come you're not doing it like you used to do it? Did you not used to believe it like this? Now, why are you doing it like this? You know what I've heard? Multitudes of excuses, but I've yet to hear a reason. Now, there's a difference between a reason and an excuse. A reason justifies things, but excuse makes up. Now, I ain't going to preach long. I watch the clock. I was. You see, we even our congregations have moved to the fact that they now believe. You know, one of the most things that I heard, the reason a lot of folks has quit doing what they used to do? Well, we just feel like it was those old preachers' opinion. That was the number one answer I got. It was those old. I told Pat, I said, guess what? I finally got old enough. Brother Neil asked me to preach out of sympathy. I'm an old man now. But I want you, it's those old fogies' opinion. And then when you fellas come along with the same fire joy and the same whatever you got that makes you energetic, you know what they're saying? Well, them young folks are just trying to get their opinion over on us now. Because they took the word of God. They took the teachings of God. I want to tell you, there's a lot of folks sitting, even in congregations, that's thinking that I'm just up there preaching my opinion. Now, Brother John, I'm not preaching anything here that I don't preach to the folks. And I haven't been too long. Preached about two Sundays ago, I guess, about women or the females are going to church, sitting on pews, even singing in choirs, and getting a hold of the microphones and think they're doing something for God, wearing that which pertaineth to a man. Now, I just preached this a couple of Sundays ago, and I got so happy with it. I mean, I just got so happy preaching. And I said, hey, hallelujah. I'm not preaching you what I believe. I'm preaching what I believe is right. Now, if you believe it's right, you'll get it out of the book. If you believe it's right, you'll preach it from the book. This man says, our job is not to give people what they want. Our job is to give them what they need, but try to make them want it. Because we're living in a day. I feel sorry for our young people. They get in predicament, Brother John, because they've got peers at school, and either the younger has got co-workers that is convinced them that they still shout. They still carry on. They still have church. We still have services where we shout. And we don't have to live like y'all do. You know what's happened? They've changed the word of God into an opinion. I want to think I've heard this somewhere. I don't know where it's from. I know it's in the Bible, but my opinion is, you see, and you know what it's got? I tell you what it's done. It has called great organizations to come to a halt. It has caused individual churches to come to a halt.
It is called individual people to come to a halt. They are now sitting on pews or wondering what is right. I want to tell you, get rid of these opinions. Go back to the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. Live the Word of God. Be the Word of God. And you won't get halted between two opinions. Hallelujah. Brother Gavin, this ain't what I do. The way you see me act, it's just not what I do. It is what I am. Hallelujah. And so we see, I wish I could preach. When they turned the absolutes of this book and the truth that's in this book to just be an opinion, they'll stand halted. And I want to tell you what happened. When you get in that halted position, if you're not mighty careful, you about decided, well, maybe this ain't too bad. You know, maybe, well, I believe we're all just children of God. We're all loved. I went to a brand new doctor, or took Pat to a brand new doctor the other day. He's a cardiologist over in Dothan. And when we walked in, you know, when my wife's with me, they don't know. They already know what we are, you know. Thank you. Thank you, Pat. I love you for it. But this doctor said, now what kind of church do you go to? I said, I pastor Mount Olive Holiness. I put the emphasis on holiness, by the way. Holiness Church. Oh, he said, all of our holiness preachers in our area has went to non-denominational to get a bigger crowd. You know what I think's happened? They've walked away from the book. I tell you, you ever wonder why them folks can shout? You ever wonder why them folks can outrun you? You want to know why them folks can get louder than you? Why they can get more emotional than you? Anybody can shout on an opinion, but it takes a true child of God to worship his spirit and in truth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Anybody can shout on opinion. I've had a few good ones myself. But when you pull the Word of God down straight and out of the book, and you see tears are flowing, and you see people up and worshiping, and I'm telling you, those, for Jesus himself, God seeketh such as to worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a spirit about anything. I found out, if you beat them drums long enough, strung them guitars long enough, this old country boy will go to patting his feet. If you put a banjo in it, I ain't get worse than that. Huh? Because there's something in it. Well, there's a lot of things running through my mind. I'm trying to hem them up, get the right thing in. Everybody are moved by song of some type. You know why? That poor old fella that's bedded up at a bar, spending his children's shoe money and his wife's clothes washer money, and drinking it away and feeding quarters in the jukebox to sing an old sad song about crying and being a loser is because he's moved by that emotion. He connects with it. And people that have come to a compromised state in their belief will get emotional off of some man's emotional opinion. There are some doctors and some teachers, they can't tell me nothing. So why in the world would they want to sit under somebody that will stand up and tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins, he paid the price on Calvary, that they could be forgiven of their sins, that they could get their sins washed under the blood, that they can be saved and knowing they're going to heaven, and before he closes his Bible, turns right around and says, but you can't help but to sin. They contradict everything they said about Christ. They took away the power of the gospel. They took away the blood of the atonement. They took away the message of the Bible. They took away the gospel of Jesus Christ and put their opinion and made folks stand up and shout.
I said I'm watching my clock. I am watching my clock. I'm putting it in my pocket. Let me say this, though. The trouble with many today is they have changed their convictions. They have changed their biblical principles that they once believed in. And you couldn't shake them or change them. They are now have decided that I'll just go with one of Elijah's opinions. Now, they come to a choice. Now, I read to you there when Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? They didn't have nothing to say. They answered not a word. But then he said, let's do the challenge here and get the bullocks. And then they said, well, you said it right. You said well. You've spoken well. But when Jehovah God settled in, I'm convinced that this is still right. I'm quitting. I choose to live like this. I choose to live like this. And I want to tell you some of the things that I do, some of the ways that I live, some of the ways that I dress, some of the ways that I act, the way that I talk, is not just my opinion. It's what I believe the book says. And when you fail to accept what this book says, church will be no more than like the rest. We'll fall and get confused and we'll get deceived to the next thing you know, anybody's opinion sounds pretty good. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to come to a standstill.